For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
On this vote, the yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
Well, I'm so glad that we solved all of our other problems in the United States, that we can sit here and have phallus measuring contests over this. And that's exactly what that was, no matter what you think. I'm going to break it down for you, and I'm not going to do it in a hyper partisan style. I'm going to do it exact because I want to let you know I hate the hell out of everybody involved. I don't mean loathe. I don't mean dislike. I mean, I hate the bread and circus that is Congress. I appreciate the Republic and how it works, but at the same time, you got to realize that there are people that DC is like the bug zapper for grifters. It just is. And we got a lot of that. We got a lot of that in the party. And we're going to talk about this because I'm going to break down the bad arguments. I'm going to go through every single bad argument. I'm going to point out the good things, the bad things, the good guys, the bad guys, what this means for you. So you can be set up. There are a lot of people out there saying a lot of stupid crap. I'm not one of them, which is why we're number one. Welcome to the show. Dana Loesch here with you, your guide. I'm in a very David Lee Roth kind of mood today. David Lee Roth from the early Van Halen era, by the way. So please get it correct. So this last night, I was actually kind of shocked, but it took eight Republicans to go with the rest of the Democrats. And I'm going to get you the latest. Let me get you set up on what happened. What happened is now the House is frozen. So that's ultimately what's happened. The House is entirely frozen. Nothing else is going to get done right now. You had a vote of 216 to 210. Of that, eight Republicans, only eight. The rest were Democrats. They were overjoyed that all of this stuff happens. So it was Kevin McCarthy that was ousted, not Jamal Bowman. I made that point yesterday before everybody else. So it was McCarthy. Now, it was the entirety of the House Democratic Caucus who were instructed by Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries to not bail out McCarthy for a good point. Now, that's you had eight Republicans that joined with us. Now, I'm going to also tell you how we got to this point, because there was a poison pill that was in the speaker's agreement. And we're going to talk about that. But let me tell you what happened. So it went back and forth. They voted to vacate. We're going to play some of the sound bites from that. But it was eight Republicans. The rest were Democrats that voted for this. Now, this means they're supposed to go on break this next week. I personally think that they should lock all their dumbasses in a room together and figure it out before. I think that that's what ultimately should happen. I think that they should have to lock themselves in a room together and figure it out before we get, because it's 45 days until the government shuts down. So we're still there. We're still at that point. So we have X amount of time before the government shuts down. And then we still, in that point, in that time period, you have to figure out who's going to be the Speaker of the House. The House can't do anything right now at all whatsoever. Nothing. It is entirely frozen. So for the next week, they're going home. Then they come back and it's entirely frozen. So let's get into some of this stuff. There, they had a video of like McCarthy disagreeing with all the Democrats that was played for the House Democrats to get them to all vote to vacate it. I mean, there was some very interesting stuff. Now, Trump weighed in on it and that he won't weigh in on it. Now, these were two Trump dudes fighting it out, Gates and McCarthy. There's audio of Trump. Trump said that he got McCarthy elected, that he was the one who got him to be speaker, et cetera, et cetera. He didn't want to weigh in on this. I got to be honest with you. I think that you kind of have a responsibility to weigh in on this. You're either going to be the leader of the Republican Party or you're not going to be the leader of the Republican Party. But I think that he just needs to wade into this and declare one of them to be the rhino and get it over with. Say which one of them is the rhino. Of the two that you backed, say which one's the rhino and then be done with the damn thing. Because I'm so tired. I'm so tired of everybody going, rhino, rhino. People were calling Chip Roy a rhino. When you're calling Chip Roy a rhino, you're an MFing communist at that point. And I'm quoting Chip Roy. So that's the way it is. Man. All right. So my favorite moment of yesterday, though, I'm going to bust it all, break it all down and pause everything, was Representative Patrick McHenry versus the gavel. I have never seen a man hit a gavel with such force and purpose and rage on his face as I did Patrick McHenry with that gavel. That gavel didn't do nothing to you, McHenry. Watch this or listen to it. You can hear it. It just sounds all ragey. It's a great.
Chair declares the House in recess, subject to the call of the chair.
Bam! I thought he was going to break it off. I thought he was going to break the tip of that going to break the gavel part off the handle. I really thought that was going to happen. So there was some really good, there was back and forth. At one point, I think, wasn't it Gates that stood over on the Democrat side? Now, here's how this all happened. Gates said, and this story has changed. Don't lie. It has. I don't care who you like. When people send me emails about who they like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to print them out and I'm going to blow huge holes in them with my KSG. Then I'm going to videotape it and I'm going to send it back to the person who sent me the hate mail. Because I don't care. I hate all your picks. I hate all of them. Now, the original argument was that Kevin McCarthy, he was trying to get forward 12 appropriations bills and he was talking to Democrats to get it done. And then it like kind of went back and forth. Like the thing about the ethics thing turned out to be true. Gates was also mad because there was an ethics investigation in him and McCarthy apparently didn't do enough, whatever, to stop it or something like that. So he was mad about that. And then he said that he had said that the other issue was that McCarthy was talking to Democrats to get 12 appropriations bills passed. So here's a question. Let me start with this. When you only have a 5-seat majority and you got some rhinos in your party, do you think that you're going to have to not talk to Democrats? That's a serious question. When you only have a 5-seat majority, 30 of those seats are in swing districts, and the House remaining in Republican control after the next election is entirely a 50% chance. Do you think that you're not going to have to talk to Democrats? That's the first question. The second question is this. If it is such a mortal sin to talk to Democrats, to try to get them on board with your spending plan, to try to get them on board with the CR, because, nay, we do not speak with Democrats, then is it not also a mortal sin to collude with Democrats to vote out your party leader in the chamber? When is it okay to talk to Democrats and when is it okay to not talk to Democrats? So wait a minute. If your name doesn't rhyme with Schmates, then it's bad and you cannot talk to Democrats, correct? But if your name rhymes with Schmates, then you can talk to Democrats. I just want to know what the rule is here. Or if there are no rules, I want to know that too. Just want to know. I'm just curious for all of us, I think. So those are some two big important questions here that I think that, you know, I think that we kind of have to understand this. I also want to ask a question, too, about the timing. We had the Biden family, and you can sit here and think what you want to it, want about it. Y'all, they've been on the ropes a little bit. You have Hunter Biden in court day before yesterday. Hunter Biden was in court. All these whistleblowers are coming forward. You had the polling that I shared with you yesterday, the Gallup poll, showing that Republicans in a national survey had a 14-point lead over Democrats in terms of confidence in over who's best handling the economy. We're going into an election year, and we have a government shutdown looming. Is this the time to do this? Regardless of whether you like the person there, is it the time to do it? My other question is this. And we're going to talk more about this coming up. So what now? Nobody had a plan. Nobody had a candidate replacement. Nobody knows. I mean, hell, Hakeem Jeffries has the clearest shot to being House Speaker. I don't know if you guys know that. Uh-huh. Hakeem Jeffries has the clearest shot to be House Speaker. I mean, I don't know. Anyone but him, please, for the love. Jim Jordan is officially announced. I saw that. We're going to talk about that later. But you kind of, don't you think that you need a plan if you're going to blow something up? And I'm all for being a brat. I mean, heaven knows that's how I got started in activism. I was out here in the streets when people were still praising McCarthy. So what's the plan? What's the substitute? I mean, you got to go in. I mean, you got to go in and you got to at least have a replacement. You have to have a strategy. And that's now we have the Republican Party. And I wrote this last night. They literally snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. What do you think that survey is going to look like in a month's time? The survey about who has faith in which party to lead us to better economic positions. I'm just curious. Now, this is, I mean, it's a mess. Now, we're going to get into some of the bad arguments, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the aftermath, because Kevin McCarthy still controls the Speaker Super PAC. I know. I'll explain about what that means here coming up. And remember what I said about ethics? So one of the things that was coming out yesterday, and I heard this from a lot of people, there's still an ongoing ethics investigation into Gates, and that was apparently from everybody that I spoke with, including sources very close to him. They were saying that that was a point of contention. Gates thought that McCarthy should have intervened to stop the ethics investigation, and that because McCarthy didn't, he was mad. That was one of the reasons. McCarthy and Gates have never liked each other. Now, here's the other thing. All of these things can be simultaneously true. You can think that McCarthy is a swamp creature, because he is. For the love, the dude wrote the damn book Young Guns with two other swamp creatures. You can absolutely think he is. You can also think Gates is the younger version of McCarthy. Gates is also a swamp creature. Spare me the BS that he's some kind of grassroots dude. He literally comes from a generationally political family. He has no legislative accomplishments to speak of. He is a JV backbencher in the House. The only thing that he does is get in the middle of press scrums. You can think both of these things about both of these dudes, and they're both true. That's irrelevant to me. My point is, was A, this the time to do it if you're going to do it? B, don't you think that when you go and you topple something, that you immediately have something to put in its place? Especially if you're trying to secure something better for America. We're definitely not going to get impeachment now. There's not going to be any subpoenas. And Dems are going to blame all of the bad market stuff coming out on Friday on Republicans. We're going to talk more about that here coming up. As we get moving, oh, we still are going on our weird, wild adventure today, kids. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Largest ever healthcare strike in the U.S. looms with more than 85,000 Kaiser Permanente union workers in 7 states walking off the job. The coalition, they're seeking pay raises of up to 6.5%. And it's 7 states and D.C. They are going to basically what up until 6 a.m. Saturday. I think this is like the biggest one in the United States. Waffle House employees also want a raise. Workers in Atlanta, Georgia deliver a series of demands. They want 24/7 security. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen Waffle House employees fight though? Because I just don't know if the security is needed. They also want an end to mandatory meal deductions and a 25-hour minimum wage for all workers. 25-hour minimum wage, then you better be operating on people in addition to flipping damn waffles. How about that? You want to get paid more than EMT workers? Then you better be operating on people and saving people's lives in addition to flipping damn waffles. Let's see here. Amazon used a secret Project Nessie algorithm to raise prices. We all know this, blah, blah, blah. Strategy described in redacted parts of an FTC lawsuit. I really don't care about this. You know, there's going to be a test coming up, by the way, too, the emergency broadcast system test. Kind of interesting that this is happening right after Russia did one 7-8 hours ago and India did one. We're going to talk to Brennan Carr coming up on that. Also, the latest. Now what, GOP? Now what? You have heard me talk a lot about how much I love my Kel-Tec P50. It's just so versatile and has become a global choice of protective details and sport shooters like me. Well, have y'all seen the new R50? Like the P50, the R50 carbine is light, well-balanced, and easily manipulated. The side-folding tack driver gives you maximum speed, accuracy, and power downrange. It is great fun out on the range. Looks like a SpaceX blaster, and the 5.7 cartridge comes in several variants from sporting to hunting to serious personal defense. Now, the R50 comes with two 50-round double-stack mags that lay horizontally along the top, and just like the P50, the R50 offers over 7 inches of rail space up top for a wide range of optic options and even more space on the bottom for accessories. To learn more about the new R50 carbine, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Keltec, 30 years of innovation to help secure your world. Visit KeltecWeapons.com today. KeltecWeapons.com.
99%. That's the amount of homes in the U.S. that are unaffordable for the average American. After a mass exodus from major cities after COVID, there is not enough supply. With the Fed raising rates so fast, why would anyone want to sell their home? Is this bubble growing to pop? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We've passed legislation to pull back, to stop spending $4.8 trillion. Then I want to make note, my friends that are carrying this motion to vacate opposed. We've passed legislation to streamline regulations, permitting, environmental laws for the first time in 40 years. Again, my friends here oppose. We've strengthened work requirements for welfare to get people back into the workforce. Again, my friends over here opposed. I keep wondering, what is going on? Are we redefining what conservative is? What's going on in this country today? What's going on in this body? Well, you have Freedom Works Heritage, Chip Roy and Jim Jordan say something's conservative, and these folks say it's not, and they're right. And all of a sudden, my phone keeps sending text messages. Text messages saying, hey, give me money. Oh, look at that. Oh, look, give me money. I filed the motion to vacate. Using official actions to raise money. It's disgusting. It's what's disgusting about Washington. Mr. Speaker, we've watched as these folks right here that have brought up this motion to vacate have refused to pay our military service members. Refused to pay them. I want to quote my delegation member, my senator from Louisiana, John Kennedy. If we're not going to pay our service members, if they're not going to be there to protect us, next time someone invades America, call a crackhead. Let me know how that works out for you.
Yield the gentleman another 30 seconds. The
gentleman is recognized for an additional 30 seconds.
Mr. Speaker, I've heard people talk about bad faith here. I've heard them make reference to this January agreement. My friends from Arizona, Virginia, and Florida. Let me be crystal clear. Not a single one of them were in the room. You know what? You know what? The speaker didn't meet the targets of that January agreement. He exceeded them. The greatest savings in American history. The greatest savings in American history.
Welcome back. That's Garrett Graves. Man, he's a mood, is he not? You're lovable curmudgeon. Dana Lash with you. You can listen to the nationally syndicated radio show, coast to coast. You can stream the show, YouTube, Facebook as well. And by our grace, we allow the first to simulcast it, channel 347, DirecTV. So he made some decent points here. Uh-huh. I mean, I thought, true. True, true, true. So I'm sitting back and I'm just amazed at all of this. I hate politics and I hate probably about 95% of the people in politics. And that includes all the dumbasses on cable news. I even seen some people on my own network saying stuff where I'm like, were you born yesterday? Like, where are you getting these opinions? Like, where do people think that Matt Gaetz is like this grassroots god? I mean, geez, by like that count, then so is Paul Ryan. You can like someone. I don't care if you like someone, but don't sit here and try to. I mean, it's like, to me, I look at when people try to assert that someone is this grassroots person to me. It's like how you feel when a dude chops off his penis and tells you that he's a woman and you need to affirm him as such. It's the same thing. Actually might be in this situation. Let's just be frank about it. No pun intended. All the puns intended. So let's get into it. Because this, it's frozen. Congress is frozen. This, when I look at all of this, and I said this in the beginning, you can believe that both of these things are true. That McCarthy's a swamp creature, and I've disliked McCarthy since before it was cool for the people who think that populism is the same thing as conservatism. A lot of us have hated McCarthy, but disliked him for a very long time. And you can also think that Gaetz is basically the younger version of McCarthy, because he is. He's voted for massive spending. He voted for all the deficit spending under the last administration. He's rubber stamped every spending bill. He always is like, oh, I take no lobby or PAC money. That's because he's in one of the safest, if not the safest district in the country. That's why. Because he doesn't have to take anybody's. He doesn't have any Democrats to vote against him. I mean, that's it. But you would think that he would have more legislative accomplishments for that than he does, because he doesn't have any. I mean, feel free to, like, you know, regale me with all of them, but he doesn't have them. Now, granted, McCarthy didn't do, there were things he didn't do right. One of the stupidest things that McCarthy did, and I wrote about this, I actually included it in part of a newsletter that I sent out at the time, was when he included this poison pill in the speaker thing, that told me he wasn't a great strategist and not to expect good things from him. You know what I'm talking about? So let's go back to when McCarthy was actually selected as speaker. Okay, finally, after 15 rounds, wasn't it like 15 rounds? So when he was finally picked as the speaker, in this whole agreement that he made, there was in this poison bill. It's a poison pill. It was this motion to vacate. And anybody in the majority party could introduce a motion to vacate. And that's exactly what happened. And McCarthy had to cut a lot of deals to get his speakership. When you have to cut that many deals to get your speakership, you're not going to be a strong speaker. It was never in the cards for him to be a strong speaker. I don't know who thought he was going to be a strong speaker. It was never in the cards. 15 rounds and you had to make all these deals just to get it. You have a razor thin majority in the House. You have 5 seats. Let me tell everybody something. I don't like this, but this is the reality of the situation. When you have a 5-seat majority in the House, don't expect ultra-conservative stuff to happen. I mean, yes, that's the reality of it. Does that make, Kane, do you think that's the reality of the situation?
Absolutely.
Does that make you a rhino traitor for acknowledging that?
No. Just factual.
Because that's what's being said by, I think, honestly, online, you have a handful of people who don't know how their government works. And then you have, I think it's honestly foreign agents that are driving it. I really do. I totally believe this because there's a lot of brand new accounts out there. Lots of them. And they all say the same thing. But this is the reality. You're not a rhino for acknowledging that the Republican Party. Are you a rhino for acknowledging that a boy is a boy and a girl's a girl? Again, same damn thing. It's just a different variable. We've got to stop whether it's, you know, transgender politics or transgender gender. Stop it. You have a 5-seat majority in the House. You're not going to get great stuff. You got to win more elections. Oh my gosh. But then you got the people like some of my family who are like, well, that's what we're always told. I got to tell you, I tore into a family member of mine last night because this is what makes me mad. I love you. I love you, older generation. God love you. Just not some of the ones in my family because they get mad and then they caps lock. They're recent Democrats. This is why I get a little frustrated. They're recent Democrats who literally just started voting Republican. And so they have all the feels that comes with that, right? But whenever anything goes wrong with the GOP, whose fault is it? Mine. I get caps locked 6 ways to Sunday. Well, Dana, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't want to have to ban you from my personal page, but I think I might have to. Are you kidding me? I don't want to be in a family like Facebook group with you. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be in a discussion. That's what all of it. And it was all caps lock. I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to hear it from them. But I feel like there's some of that involved, maybe, because you have some people who are, you know, I think new to conservatism or new to the Republican Party. Republicans operate way different than Democrats do. But this is a slim, razor thin majority, 5 seats. And so he was going to have to, I don't know what the argument that Gates has that ousting him or ousting whoever it was there is going to get better results for conservatives. You have a 5-seat majority. Now, we're going to talk about the replacements and all that. In fact, Chip Roy is going to be joining us later on in the program. But this is that's the situation. And like I said, my family that caps locked me, they always like to go, well, you know, we are always told the same thing. If we just vote more, well, it doesn't change. Well, how often have you gone out to actually bitching on social media is not the same thing as canvassing or phone banking. It's not the same thing as donating to a candidate. I do a lot of stuff locally. You guys don't even know about it. And I donate to a lot of candidates. And if I can't do it, then I try to help people who can, you know, with different political issues. It's that important. You have to be plugged in. You have to do it. It doesn't matter how busy you are. Everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. In fact, one of the women who is the most active in a phone bank, she's a widow. She's a single mother. She has 4 kids. The youngest is 12. And she's out there doing all this stuff every day. And she works a part-time job on the weekends. So everybody's busy. But you cannot ever use that excuse to be too busy for the business of the republic. You would rather have, as Jefferson said, too much responsibility than too little to attend to. Now, I don't think that, I think that both of these dudes are horrible strategists. I think that Gates is an absolute turd strategist, and so is McCarthy. Because as I said, McCarthy got himself in this spot. He cut all these deals so he could get this speakership. He made all these promises so he could get speakership. I mean, who sits there and is like, yeah, I'll go ahead and agree to a motion to vacate if you get mad at me, want to have a tantrum? Okay. What kind of stuff? What is that? Are you serious, dude? What is that? But that's how it had to work because it's, I mean, who else? They went 15 rounds. Nobody else wanted it. Steve Scalise was about ready to kick somebody if they suggested him again. And then now you got Gates. Gates has no idea what comes next. Gates doesn't even know what the hell goes on half the time. He spends most of his time in the middle of a press scrum. He looks for the cameras. All these people singing his praises. I'm going to be able to sit down and you tell me seriously, what are his legislative accomplishments? Go ahead. Fill me in. I'm all ears. Go ahead. Tell me how this helps conservatives more. Taking all the attention off of the Hunter Biden investigation, taking all the attention off the Biden family scandals, taking all the attention off the border. No, you know what's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. Democrats are rubbing their hands. I mean, hell, you could not have positioned this better unless you could not have made this happen better for Democrats if Gates was a plant. Just saying. Coming up Friday, the markets are going to go south. It's not going to be good. And guess who's going to get the blame? Kane, who do you think is going to get the blame for all that?
Republicans.
That's right. It's Republicans. We're going to get the blame. It is an entirely rudderless GOP. I'm going to look at some of these bad faith arguments coming up because these are some of the arguments I was looking at. For example, I keep hearing uniparty thrown around. I heard, it was the uniparty or whatever. I don't want to hear uniparty from anybody Gates adjacent when you had 8 Republicans vote with the entire Democratic caucus. If you want to have a discussion about uniparty. Look, if it's bad that McCarthy, with a 5-seat majority in the House, had to talk to Democrats about appropriation bills, then by that same logic, it's bad that Gates and 7 other Republicans talked with Democrats to oust McCarthy. If you do not find the consistency in that, then we cannot talk. All right, we got more on the way. Days of these United States, maybe if we get to it. The whole thing is just, this is what we're going to have. We're going to get into the appropriations bills, the Rhino argument. We're also going to talk about that market tank coming on Friday, and GOP is going to get the blame for it. All the stuff that we're going to miss out while Congress is frozen, subpoenas, impeachment, all of that, and the ultimate, one of the biggest setbacks that we're going to see, how the moderate GOP is not going to work with conservatives at all now. So you get ready because it's about to get bumpier than you ever thought it could. We're going to talk about all of that and more. And then we're also going to get into some of the culture stuff. And then here's a question. Why is it that more men back into parking spaces than women? That's the most important question for you today. Why is that? Don't. Well, wait. Just think about it. I'm putting that on your table as a little amuse-bouche. Just putting that on your table. Just, you know, have that for you. I know. We're just all about giving gifts today.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
We're going to focus on the fact that supporting Ukraine is the right thing to do, not just for Ukraine, but for the American people, or for our national security interests. And for those who want to take that support away, they should be asking themselves, why would they be willing to do Putin's bidding?
What? So wait a minute. you're doing Putin's bidding if you don't want to fund with zero accountability or explanation a land dispute. I really want to play Enya, but no one will pay the fee for the streaming for us to do it without us getting penalized on YouTube, so we can't play it. So just imagine it in your head for a moment. Yeah. Some days I just want to yank the simulcast and be like, theater of the mind is so much funnier. And the licensing. So, yeah, well, Carletta Steve asked, he made a very good question. I do have a get out of jail free card.
Do you still?
Okay. Yeah, that's like forever. There's no takesies backsies of that. But you know what, though? To Steve's point, we should, because Brennan Carr is going to be joining us coming up with the FCC. We should. And Steve, I want to make sure that you get this, record it, and then I want it as a stinger. Just doubly make sure that we do have the get out of jail free card. So, like, say something happens, I don't know, and, you know, we need it. I can just play it, and it covers all. Because there's no takesies backsies or something like that. You know, you don't give and then take. It's not like that. It's just, so I feel pretty confident about that. Yeah. All right. So we have, that's super great. Isn't that the argument that you hear from the left and from neocons? It was that, oh my gosh, if you just don't totally believe in giving all of your monies to Ukraine, then you love you some Putin. What if I hate everybody? What if I don't like any corrupt government? I mean, granted, I don't like Putin more than I dislike Ukraine's corrupt government, but how is this my responsibility still? Have Europe get off their backsides and do something. This isn't in my backyard. We got our own problems to deal with over here. Y'all deal with y'all stuff because y'all complain so much about the United States getting involved in nation building. Right? Oh, you don't like us nation building. You don't like, okay, guess what? We're not going to help anymore. Go ahead, figure it out. Go with your bad selves. Look, we're going to match your energy today. So whatever they bring, we're going to match that. We have a whole other hour of fun on the way, guys. Buckle up. We're getting ready to go on the second part of our weird, wild adventure. Stay tuned.
As the only still serving co-author and co-sponsor of the motion to vacate Speaker Boehner, I can tell you this motion to vacate is a terrible idea. As the only member who's serving here who took every chance to vote against Speaker Boehner and to vote against Speaker Ryan, I can tell you that this chamber has been run better, more conservatively, and more transparently under Mr. McCarthy than any other speaker that I have served under. As a member of the Rules Committee, one of three conservatives who were placed there out of trust, the speaker gave us a blocking position by putting three of us on there to keep an eye on the Rules Committee to make sure the process was fair and even. I can tell you it's been fair and even. None of us are voting against the speaker today.
That's Sassy Massey right there from Kentucky. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. You're bemused curmudgeon. I am David Lee Roth today from Van Halen. Get on the bus. It goes 90 miles per hour, loser. We're going for a ride. Top of the second hour. Good to be with you. All right. So there are maybe like a whole three people in the entirety of Congress. I am not joking that I will actually give some consideration to when they say stuff like this about people that I don't like. You want to know who they are? Mike Lee, Thomas Massey, and Chip Roy. I don't give a red's backside about anybody else because opinions are like, what, Kane?
Oh.
Hairs on your head. You have lots of them. What is the matter with you?
I didn't think that's where you were going with that.
You're so impure. You need Jesus.
My bad.
So there's only, I mean, I'm not joking. That's not an exaggeration. There's literally that many. And Thomas Massey is one of the, he and Chip Roy are like two of the most hated dudes in the House. They are the most conservative dudes. Massey might even beat him, might even beat Roy. And one of the reasons I like Thomas Massey, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, if he's your guy, we got listeners of Kentucky. I say this because there's like dweebs, dorks, and nerds, right? There's a hierarchy. He's a nerd. He's got like 2 degrees from MIT. When I last saw him over, what was it, spring, summer? When I saw him, he legit had a button that he made himself of the debt clock. It was a little pin. And he literally went to like a craft store or tools, like an Ace Hardware or something, and made it himself. It's hysterical. He's like very good at crafting. But he's like very serious and he's very passionate about it. And he loves nothing more than being left the hell alone. I like people who want to be left alone, right? My favorite type of people are if I go, oh, I guess, do you want to do something? They go, no. And then we both go home. I love that. It's my favorite thing. I'm a hobbit. I recognize that. I recognize fellow hobbits. And I just, it's one of the reasons why I like him. He just would rather be left alone in Kentucky. That's all he cares about. And Chip Roy's the same thing. He just wants to mess with his garden and be with his family in Texas. He doesn't want to be messing with all these fools in D.C. And so when Massey says this, I remember that fight with John Boehner because that was Tea Party time. I went around the country. I paid my own way and I went around the country helping other people raise grassroots money to oust bad rhinos, like actual fake Republicans, people like Didi Scozzafava and others, and to help fight against healthcare. For years, didn't take a dime. I made everything that my job is radio. My boss is you. So that's for years. And I met all kinds of people, saw all kinds of stuff. And I remember during that time, that's when Massey and some of these others, by the way, including Ron DeSantis, you can get mad about me bringing that up, but he was there. He's one of the founding members of the Freedom Caucus. They went after Boehner. They didn't like Boehner. They were, and Massey was one of the co-authors of that, the motion to vacate Boehner. And I remember that. Oh my gosh, the hell we caught for supporting that. Please do not compare that to what Gaetz did. It's not even remotely the same. Because conservatives had a backup plan. And then they had Massey and company had a backup plan. Then they had a backup plan to their backup plan, a backup plan to that backup plan, and another backup plan for that backup plan. They had all the backup plans. Just like how Republicans are always like, Democrats say, Republicans never had a backup plan for Obamacare. Are you high? Like, seriously, how big is your crack rock? Because there were seven other different proposals for Obamacare instead of that. Most of them didn't even get out of committee because Democrats kept killing it. By the way, that's what was happening with the 12 appropriations bills that we were talking about with McCarthy. Do you realize that Democrats weren't even allowed? They were trying to fight to even let them get out of committee for discussion. If you want to have an argument as to why McCarthy wasn't pushing some of this stuff through, that's what happens when you only have a 5-seat majority in the House. This is just facts. I don't care enough about these dudes. I'm not defending these dudes. I'm telling you what the facts are. Do not be led astray by grifters who want to manipulate you being too busy to monitor the circus that's in D.C. And they want to take advantage of you for that and lead you astray with false information. A lot of them are conservative talkers, too. They want to keep that power adjacency. True. One day I'll write a book. So this whole thing with what Massey was saying here, when he says, now, wait a minute, he's telling you that it's being run better now than it's going to be now in the future, because this is going to be a mess in the future. It's going to be a mess. There is no incentive at all whatsoever now for any kind of moderate GOP to negotiate with conservatives. Gone. Guess what? In order to have the speaker, in order to confirm speaker, you're going to have tons of fights over that. And they're probably going to have to reach out and have Democrats help. There's going to be concessions given. I asked this question yesterday and a lot of people got mad at me and they can eat my shorts because I don't care. If you're not asking this question, are you a patriot? What was there a deal struck between the 8 Republicans and Democrats yesterday? There was no secret Ukraine deal or anything like that. There were Democrats trying to figure out, well, if we do this, then how about you have to support any kind of motion we have regarding adding Ukraine funding or et cetera if we go and redo the CR. There was that going around. So I'm just curious, was there a deal made to have that happen? Because you had to have Democrats join in order to go oust the speaker. It was only 8 Republicans. So what deal was struck? Just wondering. I think that's a fair question to ask. Audio soundbite 8. Massey was going on and on with this. This is a really good point that he made with regards to spending. Listen to this.
So the 12 bills were delayed over what? $100 billion. That's a lot of money. But it's nothing compared to the $2 trillion that I came here to object to when Speaker Pelosi and President Trump pushed that bill through. We've had over 500 amendments. Listen, this is a referendum on this institution. We have tried regular order. Speaker McCarthy has tried regular order. If regular order fails today, if you vacate the speaker, nobody is going to try
again. Gentlemen's time has expired.
This institution will fail. Please do not vacate the speaker.
He made a decent point about the deficit spending last time. That was pre-pandemic, by the way, just in case that comes up as a deflection. There were some... one of the things that, and I had said this, go back, I challenge you, I triple, quadruple, 11, triple dog dare people. Go back to my archives, because I said I love the tax cuts, and it was a Paul Ryan tax cut plan that Trump signed. I'm just telling you the history of it, and I like tax cuts, so I'm never going to say no to tax cuts, and I ain't going to throw no shade on nobody who's giving me more of my money back from the government because it's not theirs. However, what did I say at the time? If you're going to have tax cuts, you got to cut spending. Kane, did I not say that? You've got to cut spending, because if you're going to have tax cuts and you don't cut spending, what are you enabling Democrats to say? What do they always say, Kane? That tax cuts cost.
That's right.
Every time. And I said, oh my gosh, I did, I don't know how many shows on this. You guys know this. Those of you in the YouTube chat, you all know this. I was like, you cannot have, you if you're having tax cuts, you got to cut spending. You have to cut spending. They weren't cutting spending. They started off strong in the first 3 months of his first part of his term. And then it kind of like waned. And I thought, maybe it'll come back. Maybe. There was some bureaucracy cutting. That was great. All of that. And then the decrease in spending, the more spending bills that were introduced, the further down the list that fell as a priority. And I warn people, Democrats are going to use this as an argument to stop tax cuts, to reverse tax cuts, and we cannot do this. So Massey's, that's an accurate point that Massey made there. And he's not wrong. So this is the big problem that I have. And like I said, there is a reality that you have to accept when you only have a 5-seat majority. This does not in any way, and I just got done explaining to you how Kevin McCarthy screwed himself with all the promises that he made to get the speakership. I mean, he literally already imperiled himself from the start. And these are two separate things that just happen to work concurrently. But this also doesn't make Gaetz this grassroots hero, because he's literally just a younger version of McCarthy. He doesn't have any legislative accomplishments. I don't know why some people on cable news or elsewhere are like cheering, because it just doesn't make any sense. A lot of people are mad at Nancy Mace. A couple of you emailed me about this. I'm not a Mace fan because I don't think that she's firm. I feel like she was a huge champion of McCarthy. I respect people more when they hold the line, especially for somebody who went to bat for them. McCarthy's got, he raised a lot of money for Nancy Mace. But that's not even the thing that makes me the angriest. What makes me the angriest is that she sent out, this is where I'm weird, she sent out a press release yesterday full of typos. I'm just saying, like the thing that she sent out, maybe it was her staff. And you're like, Dana, that's petty. Is it though? Is it? I mean, I just hold our elected officials to higher standards. It's a weird thing with me, right? I don't like it when people put toilet paper on the roll the wrong way. I don't like it when people don't fold their towels like I do. And I don't like it when people mistake its and its. You know what I mean? So I was looking at this. Basically, what she said is, this is about Congress. This is about making Congress do its job. What? Yes. It is about making Congress do its job. Oh. I'm kind of ambivalent on Mace. I'm not a fan, but I don't hate her. I just don't care. You know, is that fair? Is that, that's like, that makes sense, right? I just don't think that she's a strong, I don't think that she is a strong politician. I don't think that her roots run deep. So I wasn't surprised to see her fold with this. I just wasn't. And, you know, that has to be expected. She's trying to figure out which way the wind's blowing, because she wants to make sure that she has access to wherever that is. So just to that point. Now, Here's the other question I want you to think about, because we got the FCC commissioner coming up. Does the average American actually give a rat's backside who the speaker is? Or is this just nerd stuff? We have rampant inflation, a completely open border. Crime is going through the roof. You can't even walk around in D.C. without getting carjacked or assaulted. You can't drive around without getting carjacked. Does the average American care who the speaker is? Do you think that this is what they care about? How does, do you think that the changing of the speaker is going to make it to where their wages keep up with the cost of everything else? Does changing out the speaker, is that going to close the border right now? Is it going to close the border? If you get someone in there, is the border going to be closed? Is it going to make the Senate more conservative? Is it going to give another seat majority in the House right now? If you answered honestly to those questions, then now you understand where the rest of America is and why I find this so frustrating.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Why would you want to do this? Why? Here's the headline. Scientists just made a huge leap bringing animals back from the dead. Wait, what? Why? So they announced they extracted RNA from the remains of a thylacine, a.k.a. the Tasmanian tiger. It's tiny and microscopic, but the ramifications could be significant for de-extinctions. I just think that extinction is God's way of saying you don't work here anymore. You know, I don't know. Like, maybe not. Let's not do this. So scientists are fascinated by this. I mean, there's a million other things that we could do, but let's go ahead and work on bringing dead animals back to life, Pet Cemetery style. I've seen this movie. Did you ever see the original? Not the remake, which sucks, but the original. Ever see the original movie? The guy who used to play Herman Munster, he was in them. He was in the original. Still one of the creepiest movies I've ever seen in my life. And oh man. Oh, it started my dislike of cats, which I've always been allergic to. All right, so a cartel murdered their own boss by mistake. The hitman turned the gun on himself after realizing the error. I don't even know how this happened, but it did. A blundering drug cartel hitman reportedly murdered his own boss in a shocking case of mistaken identity. It was a Sinaloa cartel dude who did it. Oh my gosh. We have the FCC commissioner up next. Stay with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast all around the country. You can also watch the simulcast of the radio program, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. This is what we're getting ready to embark upon, Kane. You and I were talking about this. It's one of the great plagues that has affected the American populace, because at first we were all going to die if we didn't get Obamacare. We were all going to die if we got tax cuts. We were all going to die from like a number of things. But I don't think that anything was ever used to threaten all of our lives as much as net neutrality was. If we did not have net neutrality, we were all going to die horrific deaths, the likes that Smog, the sweet meteor of death, could not even hope to achieve. So I was always like, golly, why are they so invested into this? And if you don't know what net neutrality is, it's basically the micromanaging of the internet by the government. That's exactly what it is, just to put it in layman's terms. And you know that everything that they touch is just made better.
Yeah,
we all believe that. Okay. Joining us right now is one of the commissioners of the Federal Communications Commission, Mr. Brendan Carr, who, by the way, congratulations, your five-year appointment, or you were unanimously approved by the Senate for 5 years. So just selfishly, we still have like a five-year get-out-of-jail-free card. So it's congratulations and welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much. Great to be with you. Yeah, again, you still have a get-out-of-jail-free card one time for an obscenity or profanity. I'll work with the Enforcement Bureau on that for you. But great to join with you again.
Of course. Well, we're angels. So, I mean, we are. Right. I mean, you just can't see our halos because it made it weird for the lighting, for the cameras. But we are, I mean, the least of your concern, sir. I promise you. Kane, mix it the dump button. Anyway, but I wanted to talk with you about this because I thought that net neutrality under the previous administration had gone away. Why this is now a concern for the left is a little mystifying, because we have a lot of other problems that seem to rank up higher on the list of priorities for Americans. Tell us why this is now making kind of a comeback with the left, because this is one of the things that you're looking at again.
Yeah, you're right. This has become a matter of religion when it comes to some sectors on the left. Just as you noted in the opening, 6 years ago, we all lived through one of the greatest regulatory hoaxes in U.S. history. We were told, as you noted, that if we repealed net neutrality, as I did with my FCC colleagues back in 2017, it would be, as a CNN banner headline said, the end of the internet. Or the Senate Democrat caucus put out a tweet that said, without net neutrality, you're going to get the internet one word at a time, putting each one on the bottom of it. Of course, it was this apocalyptic rhetoric has been proven absolutely false. What's happened since that 2017 repeal? Mobile speeds in the U.S. are up sixfold. Prices are down in terms of real terms, inflation adjusted. In fact, utility regulated services, heavy regulated services, have increased their prices twofold. And so this is really just a matter about exerting government control of the internet. The internet has been one of the greatest free market innovations in history. We outpace other countries all around the world. And yet this week, my colleagues and I here at the SEC will be voting on a proposal to put back in place those Obama-era rules. And just to be clear, this isn't about net neutrality. That's, you know, don't block, don't throttle, okay, not controversial. That's just the sheep's clothing. What it's really about is getting utility-style control over the internet infrastructure, and that's why this is so concerning.
That's a really great point. We're talking with Brendan Carr, commissioner over at FCC, because it is this push to make it, to treat it as a utility. And it seems, and would you agree with this, it seems less like, oh, we're going to make it affordable and where everybody has internet. It seems more like about another way to control information and distribution.
Yeah, exactly. Every time we go through this, it's like Lucy with the football. We're told there's another reason we need to do it. We're told back then it was about free speech. Obviously, that's not the case. We still have free speech, at least at the ISP level of the internet without net neutrality. We were told, you know, we have to do this for prices. But again, prices went down after we removed it. And so now we're going to be told some other song and dance. But again, yeah, at its core is about control. And frankly, I can't put it any better than President Obama's Solicitor General. He was one of the top lawyers at the Department of Justice during the Obama administration. He wrote just a couple weeks ago and said that this type of utility-style regulation of the internet, I want to quote it, would be an enormous and transformative expansion of agency authority, and it would give the agency vast control over an element of our economy and our personal lives that's vitally important. Let's put that in perspective. Don Verrilli, the Solicitor General that said that, was the one who went to the Supreme Court and defended successfully the Obamacare decision, which was a fundamental transformation of healthcare. He has said that wasn't that big a deal, but utility regulation is where he's sounding the alarm and saying that goes too far.
Yeah, wait, exactly. Brendan Carr with the FCC. We're talking with him via Skype right now. Because there's so many things that the average American has to worry about. How is this going to affect them? Because I always try to figure out how I can take this idea of net neutrality, because a lot of people, you know, they just know that if somebody needs to be told on Facebook, they can tell them using the internet. Ultimately, this is going to have a negative impact. This is going to be one of many now that Americans are going to have to deal with. What is the immediate effect if this is actually reintroduced and implemented?
Well, one, it's going to hit Americans in their pocketbook. This type of an approach is going to open the door to all sorts of new taxes and fees, let alone just the regulatory onslaught for the small internet providers that are trying to build out in rural America. It is going to be a real headwind towards their efforts to what we call close the digital divide. And we don't always have to guess. In Europe, they had this utility-style regulations. And during COVID-19, we saw internet traffic spike globally as people worked from home. In Europe, the regulators there called up Netflix and asked them to throttle, to we call it down-res, their videos to prevent Europe's networks from breaking because they're so underinvested because they have that heavy-handed regulation. So the future is not bright if we go back down this path towards government control of the internet.
Is this going to be approved? Is there enough of your like-mindedness in the FCC to defeat this?
Well, if I was a skeptic, I'd say it's all over but the yelling and the fundraising. The good news is one of the reasons why President Obama's SG did weigh in, as he said, with the major questions doctrine, which is increased scrutiny that the Supreme Court is now bringing to all agency regulations. He says that this is dead on arrival in the Supreme Court. So we are going to waste a tremendous amount of time, not dealing with robocalls, not dealing with Spectrum, not dealing with rural broadband, just chasing our tail on this utility-style regulation, and the agency will ultimately lose in the Supreme Court.
Wow. And yeah, that is going to be a lot of time, a lot of taxpayer dollars just to get that ultimate conclusion. When is all of this, last question for you, talking with Brendan Carr, and you can find him on Twitter at Brendan Carr, FCC. That's two R's as well. What is the timeline of this? I mean, obviously, if this goes to Supreme Court, which it sounds like you anticipate that, that's going to take quite a bit, but this vote's going to be coming up in the FCC.
Yeah, in the near term, we'll be voting in 2 weeks here at the FCC on a proposal to go back to that Obama-era approach. And then I expect the FCC will move to a final order over my objection, I'm sure, sometime in the late spring would be my estimate. And then you're sort of off to the races in terms of the court proceedings from there.
Wow. All timed perfectly to coincide with an election. This is just lovely. I just love the timing of everything with this. Just wonderful. Brendan Carr, who is the commissioner over at the Federal Communications Commission, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention, because we kind of had it on our periphery. But I mean, with this vote on the proposal coming in the next couple of weeks, and of course, with it going the way that you're indicating it's going to go, this is going to be very interesting for everybody to watch. So thank you so much. We appreciate it. Good to see you.
Thanks for covering it. Enjoyed it.
Of course. Thanks so much. We'll talk again soon. And thank you for the get out of jail free card. 5 more years. Yeah. Thank you. We have more to come, folks, here at the bottom of the second hour. So, and that's actually really what he was talking about with the price increase. I did not realize the throttling of Netflix, because the regulations in Europe made it to where there was no investment in the infrastructure. I mean, when you have things regulated to such an extent, you also have to realize that that is just strangling out any other investment that you might have in infrastructure. It was a very good point that he made. You don't need the micromanaging of the government for this. You just really don't need it. And then another thing that's going to be rolling up towards election year. Goodness. You know, if only we had some people in, like, I don't know, the House of Representatives to, like, write, you know, some laws about some of this stuff and prevent this overreach and regulate. You know, Kane, if only. But sadly, it's going to be another, because they're out of session next week. And then after that, it's going to be a giant slap fight for how long? Nobody knows. Because it's just entirely rudderless. Did you guys see, by the way, the photos they made Nancy Pelosi leave? She kept the speaker's office. I didn't know that. Kevin McCarthy didn't make her. I guess he felt that it was mean if he made the old lady move out of her office. Again, he makes the situation bad for himself. I don't like Gates is not an angel in this either. I mean, he colluded with Democrats and he has no legislative accomplishments. McCarthy put the poison pill for the motion to vacate in because he made so many promises to get Speaker. And then he doesn't make Nancy Pelosi leave her office. Girl, you know, the first thing that I would legit be outside that door with, like, the boxes already. I'd have, like, all my old Amazon boxes that I got, like, my stuff in. And I'd be like, girl, here, I brought you some boxes. Let's pack up your stuff. And I would be helping her move out. Like, what? Oh, don't sit here and go, Dana, he was just being nice. I don't want to hear it. There's no such thing as nice in politics. Come on, guys. There's no such thing as nice. There's civil. But can you imagine? Do you think that they would have given, if this was reversed, would that have gone the same? Oh my gosh, no, you know it wouldn't have. I'd have made her move out like day of, dude. I mean, I don't know what the timeline is on that or like how that's regulated or governed, but I legit would have been there the second that I could be. Like, here, I'm going to help you move, Nance. Let's go. I'm going to help you move. Yeah, they were packing up all of her stuff and they were moving her out. And people were saying, it's so mean because she's at that other old lady's funeral. She's at Dianne Feinstein's funeral. People were saying that it was mean look, this is when it happened. I good on Patrick McHenry, by the way. He was the guy who made the call is the guy who got mad, who had that mad gavel skill, and he swung that gavel so hard we thought it was going to break. Patrick McHenry, he's the guy who's the temporary speaker right now. And he's he is friends with McCarthy. He was mad with all of that stuff yesterday, but apparently one of the first points of business that he had was making the old gal move up out of her office. And there was no playing. He was like, skidoo, you're out. So she had to go. And her staff had to pack her up while she was at Dianne Feinstein's funeral. And so that was the narrative going out. Can you believe they're so mean? They're making it. Let's not even do that. Let's not do that. You jailed people who were outside the Capitol who didn't even go in. So we're not playing this game. Get out. Get out. Get out. All right. We got Florida Man on the way. I literally am looking to Florida Man for my daily dose of sanity. This segment used to be so much funnier. And then everything else turned into like the actual Florida Man. And this segment turned into like the bright beacon of hope. So I don't know what's happening. Like, the world is topsy-turvy, y'all.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
You know, it's the cow that really sells it for me. So this is at the Villages. A 77-year-old villager. I swear this is like Minecraft. Faces hard time for a stockpile of illegal ED drugs in retirement community. I didn't know what ED meant at first. I didn't. I was like, what is that? I'm like, so look, even though I have, and all the people in my family were in the Navy, so I blame them. Even though I have a naval type vocabulary sometimes, I am still very pure of heart. I did not know what that meant until I was in the art, because I just thought, like, what is that? Like, what is ET? No, he's a 77-year-old Florida man. He was in, and I thought he looked familiar because I saw this documentary about the Villages. This dude was in it. These are the erectile dysfunction drugs, the ED. That's what it means. Oh, my gosh. He had $1,800 of black market ED drugs. I didn't even know that that could be black market. I didn't know. Oh, my gosh. His name is Reginald Kinser, Reggie Kinser. He bought all of these. He bought all of these products. Snowvitra, Villatra. I don't even know what this one is, and I'm not saying it. Don't. I don't even know. That sounds nasty. That third one sounds nasty. A jelly? Stop. With the intent to sell them locally and outside of Florida. He and his wife were in some kind of heaven, which looked at the Villages. I saw that. And his wife in the trailer says, the Villages have given Reggie an opportunity to grow in, you know, different ways. And he's apparently also a devotee of Kung Fu. And so he was like in this documentary without a shirt on. He was doing his stuff next to a pool, like very, very Mac-ish from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And so anyway, yeah, that's it.
Well, he knows his market.
Well, yeah, apparently. And he apparently also got arrested in the parking lot before of the Villages Laurel Manor Recreation Center. And when they approached his car, apparently he had, they said he smelled like marijuana. And when they asked him if he had any on him, he reached into his satchel. I love they said satchel. And pulled out a clear cylinder tube containing all these balls of a green leafy substance. And then he goes, well, he says, I'm able to possess this under Indian law. Is that like bird law? Like what? Oh, and then later they found cocaine in a plastic bag in his wallet. Because he says that he is a member of a Native American church. And so that's what, where he claims that he can have all this stuff because of Indian law.
Religious exemption, I see.
I guess so, because it's not of a nation. It's of a Native American church, so I don't know. I'm just fascinated with this whole thing. Anyway, so that guy sounds fascinating. Oh, man, I'm telling you this. Okay, this guy, a Florida man climbed on a railroad crossing and then stood there for 10 hours, threw meth, and exposed his genitals. Well, okay. I mean, some of us have bad days, you know. He climbed up on a railroad crossing the light poles, and he stayed a while. A Polk County Sheriff's Office first sent out a traffic alert saying that the guy was suffering a mental health crisis, you think. It was like 4:30 in the morning. He climbed up there for the next, like, 10 hours. He stood up there, showed off his bits and pieces, and threw meth at people. It took four SWAT officers in a bucket to bring him down. And they finally got him on the ground at 2 p.m. And then they put him under arrest for disorderly conduct. And he's 28 years old. So they said, I love how they said the police report. They said he exposed himself in a vulgar manner. I can only imagine. Wow. And they're this, you know what? If you put him in D.C., he's still probably better behaved. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Chip Roy will be joining us later.
Speaker McCarthy, if I can. Speaker McCarthy, then Speaker McCarthy said that the two of you haven't spoken directly in a long time. Why is that? And are you committed to engaging more regularly with the next House Speaker?
We had two agreements we shook hands with on. And I assumed he was working with, I knew he was working with the Democrats in the House and Senate. It wasn't for me to do anything. If he wanted to talk to me, I was available. I'm available to whomever wants to talk to me. But the idea that I was going to somehow convince McCarthy to change his view was not reasonable.
Does the disarray on Capitol Hill after your conversation with allies yesterday worry you that you won't be able to deliver the aid that the U.S. has promised to Ukraine?
It does worry me, but I know there are a majority of members of the House and Senate in both parties who have said that they support funding Ukraine. With your, I'm going to be announcing very shortly a major speech I'm going to make on this issue and why it's critically important for the United States and our allies that we keep our commitment.
Mr. President, are you also concerned about the rest of your domestic and foreign policy initiatives being in peril because of what we saw happen yesterday, the dysfunction in Congress, the chaos that we saw on the House side? Does that concern you in any way?
The dysfunction always concerns me. The programs that we have argued over, we passed bipartisanly, I'm not concerned that they're going to all of a sudden come in and try to undo them.
Well, although that's a sleep golly. He's putting me to sleep. I can't hardly.
This is his press conference, though.
Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. Was that the? Was that it, Kane? Was that the thing?
I think, no. You mean the EAS thing?
Yeah.
No. That's still 13 minutes away.
Okay. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, your lovable curmudgeon. Talking about all kinds of things. Yeah, we're the EAS test. Very interesting that it happens, you know, right after Russia did one. Isn't India doing one?
Yeah.
It's when your phone's going to, like, what, 13 minutes, you said? It's going to go crazy. Everybody's phones and laptops and whatever, it's going to go nuts. And it's a test of what? The emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. Isn't that what it usually does?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay. All right. There it is. There it is. So we got Congressman Chip Roy is going to be joining us here in a little bit. He was quite unhappy, you could say, yesterday. Audio soundbite 9, please.
Come at me and call me a rhino. You can kiss my ass. Look, I've spent a lifetime fighting for limited government conservatism. I have laid it all on the line. I have not seen my family but for 2 days in the last 30 days. You go around talking your big game and you thumping your chest on Twitter. Yeah, come to my office and come have a debate, mother. You know why? Because I'm standing up for this country every single day.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, did he censor himself?
Yes, he did.
He went, mother.
Yeah.
That was real nice. That was real nice. I'm going to have to steal that. Look, Chip, first off, I don't know who would call Chip Roy a rhino. Unless maybe they've been dead or not alive or not here on Earth or they're an alien, a bot, or a foreign agent. That's like, that's the only thing I can think of. He is one of the most limited government people possible. That's just it. Here's the other thing. And we've been talking about this. Because I just want to get you set up. I know a lot of you are like, oh my gosh, how does this impact me? I don't care. It's not going to make, you know, things more affordable. It's not going to make Halloween candy more affordable this year. Not going to make the Halloween costume more affordable this year. It's not going to make gas more affordable. It's not going to, none of those things. I agree with you. And as I laid it out earlier, I have never been a fan of McCarthy. I've always been civil, but I've never been a fan because he was one of the young guns, like from the get-go. I mean, he was one of the people that, you know, we included as, you know, in the Tea Party as being, you know, one of those big government folks. But I think Matt Gaetz is just the younger version of him. You know, Matt Gaetz has no legislative accomplishments. and he's literally rubber stamped every big spending bill in the last administration. And I said during the last administration, love the tax cuts, but you got to cut spending, or Democrats are going to use that as a way to undermine tax cuts. That was my biggest thing. And they did not get a handle on spending. This was even pre-pandemic, guys. So is it Rhino to point out bad things that people you like do? Or is it Rhino to point out things that are just inconsistent with being a constitutionalist, period? I mean, these are the questions. You know, we gotta seriously entertain here. So what happens next? They don't know. Jim Jordan has his hat in the ring. I don't know what's going to happen next. You have a 5-seat majority in the House. The average American, Republicans really foobarred this. But Kevin McCarthy had a horrible deal in which he poison pill himself by offering up, making all these promises, all these deals to keep speakership. And he had a deal in there where he would give somebody the motion to vacate if they were mad at him for any reason. And that's what you ended up having. Gates is mad because McCarthy didn't intervene in his ethics investigation. And I can't take seriously the claims that, well, McCarthy was talking to Democrats about these appropriations bills. Well, here's the reality of the situation. You got 5 seats in the House. I mean, if there's a way to pass when you barely have a majority and you have some Republicans that just aren't going to go along with it, if you have a better way to get something passed, by all means, that maybe none of those people there have thought of, by all means, throw it out. Maybe there's some hidden parliamentary type measure that's available in the House that, you know, we don't know about. I don't know. But of those appropriations bills, the 12 that Gates had been talking about, a bunch of them, they weren't even going to get out of committee because Democrats are blocking them. I mean, there's a lot you can get mad at McCarthy about, but that's not one of them. I'm not going to pretend that Gates is mad over some sort of principle related to spending because of his passive votes on deficit spending. He's literally the younger version of Kevin McCarthy. And he says that he doesn't have to take PAC or lobbyist money because he is in the reddest district in the country and he doesn't have to. The House, 30 of those seats are in swing districts. It was already going to be a bit of a fight going into this election to keep the House. It's been made that much worse now. We had a 14-point lead in the latest Gallup survey showing that Americans trusted Republicans to deliver on the economy way more than they did Democrats. Now we're going to have these market numbers come out on Friday, and it is going to be blamed entirely on the Republicans. That's how it's going to be messaged in the media. It's how it's going to be messaged by Democrats and the independents that are needed to win. You're going to have some people that are going to believe this. That's what I don't think that McCarthy or anybody else was scared of a shutdown. Here's the thing. We have too many damn people in Congress that are interested in chasing trending more than they are interested in tending to the business of the United States. A friend made this observation about tending to people. You have to tend more than you trend. 30 seats in swing districts means the House is in peril going into this election. And with these numbers that are going to be coming out on Friday, man, the Republicans, you had the investigation going into the Biden family. You had the impeachment inquiry underway. They were doing it the right way so that Democrats could not legitimately accuse them of politicizing it. And you know what? Did you notice that while all of this was happening, did you see all the national surveys about what people felt about the Biden situation? 60% of Americans felt that every poll, every network, they thought this family's guilty. Republicans had everybody on their side. Oh, yeah, the Bidens are guilty. Oh, yeah, plus 14. We believe in Republicans in handling the economy. This was not the time to do this. If you wanted to get rid of McCarthy, get rid of McCarthy. But if you're going to get rid of McCarthy, A, you got to pick your timing better. B, you better immediately after you do this, the next damn day, you put up your replacement and you take your vote. That's why I don't think this was serious. This was a stunt. You could not have choreographed this better if you were a Democrat. because now Democrats get to smirk and they get to go out and say, oh, look at the Republican Civil War. You know what else gets hidden by all this? Look at all of these Democrat governors and mayors that were sending letters out to all of these, to all the people in the administration, blasting the administration over the lawlessness at the border, creating a burden for their states. That's the Civil War happening on the Democrat side. But now Democrats get to obfuscate and they just get to point to the Republican side. Look, as I said, if I had to pick between Gates or McCarthy, I'm not going to pick nobody. But Gates is not this grassroots guy. And people championing him, I don't think understand what happens in Congress. I mean, they don't follow it. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that because maybe you're not as big of a nerd and you have a life. But this guy is literally the younger version of Kevin McCarthy in every way. And to blow something up like this, if you're gonna take him out, then immediately have a backup. And don't get mad at one guy for negotiating with Democrats. Again, 5-seat majority. And as I said at the start of the show, I don't know how you avoid talking to Democrats with a razor-thin majority in the House. But if that's going to be your reason, then are you not guilty by your own measure, because Gates literally had to work with Democrats to get McCarthy ousted. It was only 8 Republicans that joined in. Everyone else voted against it. But the entirety of the Democratic caucus voted with Gates. So if you want to have a discussion about uniparty, there's the uniparty. I don't get that either. It's like, what the hell does that mean? I feel like you've got foreign agents like with, you know, English as a second language, throwing out terms that they don't understand. I'm like, uniparty? You mean like the entirety of the Democratic caucus that voted with 8 Republicans? Like, what is that? What promises were granted there? Now, Newt Gingrich, I got to touch on this real quick. Newt Gingrich and I went around and around during the Tea Party. He used to not always be a hardcore conservative. My very first race that I got involved in was New York's 23rd Congressional District. Doug Hoffman versus Didi Scozzafava. Didi Scozzafava was a Democrat that was handpicked by Newt Gingrich to run. And there it is.
There's the test.
I'm going to talk more about this coming up. But Didi Scozzafava was the Democrat picked to run as a Republican because they didn't think that Doug Hoffman could win. And I started a fundraiser for Doug Hoffman and launched a war on the establishment over that. And Gingrich and I got into a big old fight at CPAC that year over this. Audio soundbite 15. Boy, he's changed. Listen to this.
Well, think about what we saw today. 4% decided they were so morally superior, so intellectually pure, so patriotically better, that they would side with the Democrats, and that's what they did, in order to defeat the entire Republican House caucus. 96% of the Republicans voted for McCarthy. 4% voted against him. From my position as a longtime Republican activist, they're traitors. All 8 of them should, in fact, be primaried. They should all be driven out of public life. What they did was to go to the other team to cause total chaos.
Well, he's not right, or he's not wrong in that they went to the other team and caused chaos. When you have Newt Gingrich saying this, and again, he was the first fight that the Tea Party had. We cost him that race. That was the Tea Party's first fight. I was on the national calls with everybody helping. I was organizing this thing. When he's saying this, maybe you should listen about working with the other side. That's the uniparty.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So do you guys remember, you guys remember Tiger King, right? Do you remember the other animal dude in Tiger King? The ponytail guy, Doc Antle? So he was the animal trainer. He got suspended sentence for wildlife trafficking in Virginia. That's his name, Doc Antle. And he had like the weird blonde ponytail and... yeah, that guy. So he got a suspended sentence for animal trafficking. I just thought you guys would find that interesting. This is wild. There's a little bit more to this, though, than meets the eye. So first off, an Airbnb renter refused to leave an LA home for 540 days as a judge backed her efforts to stay. It's a Brentwood Hills mansion. It's an LA dentist. It's a $3.8 million home. This Airbnb guest just hijacked it and wouldn't leave. And she didn't pay either. And so they were saying that he rented the guest house of his mansion to this woman in 2021. She won't move out. And then a judge said that she's within her right because apparently they said, well, the property wasn't rented as an Airbnb and it has no certificate of occupancy. And it also had a shower bill without a permit. And as of such, it's not a legal rental and she shouldn't have been charged rent at the start. That is so stupid. Is that not the dumbest thing ever? Well, because you didn't beg us, the government, to recognize your property. Well, if you're not going to do this is how you get vigilantism. I just want to tell this is how you do it. In a church in Alabama, there was a takeover as a sermon led by it was an AI takeover in a church, a ChatGPT sermon. That's never going to go well. Don't ever do that. Congressman Chip Roy, next.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Come at me and call me a rhino. You can kiss my ass. Look, I've spent a lifetime fighting for limited government conservatism. I have laid it all on the line. I have not seen my family for 2 days in the last 30 days. You go around talking your big game and you thumping your chest on Twitter. Yeah, come to my office and come have a debate, mother. You know why? Because I'm standing up for this country every single day.
So the biggest problem that I had today was choosing the bumper track to intro Congressman Chip Roy, because we're like, Nazareth? You know, Hair of the Dog? That's real good. You know, LL Cool J or JJ Cool L, you know, if you're talking about it in Bidenese. I mean, that's, you know, also another one. Joining us right now from the great Republic of Texas, one of our favorite, literally, he's literally one of three people in Congress that we like, Congressman Chip Roy, who joins us. You've been having a day.
Well, Dana, I'm actually joining you still from the swamp. I'm in D.C. in my office.
God love you.
I do represent the great state of Texas. Don't know when I'm going back. I think we should stay here. We need to keep doing the work and finish the job.
Haven't you? You have taken a break since yesterday.
I did sleep a little bit last night.
Okay.
It was late. It was late night this morning. Back at it. Early breakfast this morning. I mean, we got a job to do. I mean, I remain committed to that. It's part of what frustrates me, Dana, is when you get pundits. And look, my reaction there wasn't really to Matt. It wasn't any of my friends who had a good faith belief that we weren't getting the job done through the speaker. And they called the question.
Yeah.
So now we got to go choose another speaker. I didn't agree with the play call, but I don't fault them for it. I do fault the pundit who are spinning people up with lies, saying Chip Roy supports giving all the money in the world to Ukraine. He's selling out.
Yeah.
Why? Because I made a statement that said we should consider attaching HR2, border security, to any Ukraine vehicle. Yeah, I don't think we ought to be giving a blank check to Ukraine or, frankly, any more money at all to Ukraine. But I am going to try to play the leverage to try to secure the border of the United States.
Yeah.
I'm paid to be smart to try to figure out how to get this done. So, look, that's what I was frustrated about. Look, I should not have used the language that I used.
Oh, no. Clear. I'm not going to have you come and apologize and do all that stuff, Congressman. You know what? You were mad on behalf of the American people. Yeah. And what you expressing is the frustration of people all over this country. Because, you know, at the end of the day, whoever the speaker is, isn't going to change inflation. It's not going to change what's right. happening at the border. We just want to get stuff done. So we know who you are. And we know that if anybody's saying that Chip Roy's a rhino, those people have not been paying attention to what you've been doing. Well, you fought a lot.
Well,
you put your reputation on the line.
Well, thanks, Dan. Let me just say this. I do not apologize a lick for my passion or being angry at those individuals or the position I was taking as a father and as a Christian. I do apologize for the language. But that being said, I'm going to get right back in the saddle just as passionately and just as frustrated. We've got to go elect a speaker now. We've got to go finish the job. We can do it. We've done a lot of good things this year. I'm proud of some of the stuff we've done this year, but we haven't finished the job.
To interrupt you, Congressman, you only have a 5-seat majority in the House. So it's understandable that at some point y'all got to talk to Democrats.
Yeah, well, look, and here's the thing, though. And I said this on Hannity last night, which is when you have Democrats that won't sit down with us to work to just solve the most basic fundamental duties of government. For example, we have a member of our own delegation from Texas, a Democrat, who got carjacked 9 blocks from where I'm standing right now. 9 blocks. They won't do anything about crime. They're not going to do anything about the border while Texans die from fentanyl poisoning and our ranches get overrun and migrants get abused. They're not doing anything about blank checks to Ukraine. They're not doing anything about $2 trillion deficits. They don't care. They just sit back and say the status quo is just fine. Spend more money. Leave our borders open. Leave our communities unsafe. So you have 221 Republicans who are trying to figure out how to make this work. And how many of you have families? Do you control every member of your family?
Right.
These are independent members of Congress from the whole country. And if 5 or 10 disagree, you got to figure out how to make it work because we're getting no help from our Democrat colleagues. So I don't mind that this is messy. What I do mind is that we not win. I want to go figure out now how to go win.
And that's the kind of the thing. It's, you know, I don't mind. I mean, granted, look, there's things that you can criticize McCarthy on. There's things I criticize Gates on as well, like including the timing. Sure. And, you know, if you're going to get mad at one side talking to Democrats, and let's talk about eight Republicans talking to Democrats in order to have this happen. I mean, there has to be consistency. But to have a game plan, that's where, you know, I remember back in the Tea Party days, and your colleague Thomas Massey was speaking about this. They had a plan. They had a backup plan and a backup plan to that one when they went at John Boehner.
Well, look, and I'm not going to talk about the game. I'm not going to go down the road. You can and others about criticizing the eight or not. Like, my view is that you have eight members of Congress who used a tool at their disposal, expressed their discontent with the fact that so far this year, all we
a
really
tool that McCarthy gave them, by the way,
and it was a part of the negotiation. And look, I think that tool should stay there, to be clear. I just don't think we should use it that often. Okay.
Right.
And I want to have it there in the break the glass kit. I think that glass was broken prematurely here. I expressed that view. I didn't prevail. So now we have the position that we have. We've got to stop getting around and arguing about rules that nobody cares about. We've got to argue about inflation, about the border, about getting the job done. We need a speaker. We need a speaker by next week. We need a speaker who can lead. We need to actually get the job done. That's what we were hired to do.
And you guys, we're talking with Congressman Chip Roy via Skype. He's in D.C. still. He's in the swamp, still dealing with the swamp. But you all go on recess for a week. And then are you guys going to stay in D.C.? Is that going to happen?
Well, last night, my position was we should not adjourn. I made that clear. We did not. We have now lost a quorum in part because Democrats are going out for Senator Feinstein's funeral. That was already going to be a problem for Thursday. I think Republicans should have stayed in town for us to work this out and choose our speaker. Obviously, we have a president pro temp. We have leaders. They're trying to figure it out. Right now, what I believe is going to occur, we're probably going to adjourn tonight because there's no reason to have staff have to sit here through the night while we're not voting because we can't vote if we don't have a speaker. So I think we're going to adjourn until through the holiday, but I think Republicans need to do our job so that when we come back in next week, we're ready. So my message to Republicans is we've got to figure out the speaker by next Tuesday and we need to roll.
Now, who is that going to be? I know Jim Jordan has said reluctantly that he consider it, although I think he likes where he is in the catbird seat with oversight. You have Steve Scalise, others, maybe you. Your name has been tossed out quite a bit. Would you do it if you were nominated? Would you do it?
Well, look, I don't. People ask me that question, and like my focus right now is how to get us unified on where we can go. Jim Jordan's a friend. Kevin Hearn's a friend. Steve Scalise is a friend. I've been meeting with them, talking to my colleagues about where we go. It is going to take a holistic conversation to see where we can land on getting 218 agreed to. Jim is somebody that has been with me in my corners since I came in, and founding member of the Freedom Caucus, and, you know, running judiciary, and we're on the Judiciary Committee together. And, you know, I've known Steve and Kevin both a long time. So I'm not taking a public position yet. I do have my views, but I think we need to figure this out in the family. It's tenuous. We just had a blow up. We as a family need to figure out where we're going to land, and we need to be unified. We don't need multiple rounds of votes. We need to figure out who the speaker is, come out, elect the speaker, slam the gavel down, and go straight to committees and straight to votes on the rules on the energy and water appropriations bill on the floor next Tuesday. That's what we need to do.
And then, of course, you know, you're aware the coming market news for the market's not going to be good on Friday. And obviously, we're all anticipating Democrats are going to try to blame Republicans for that. Republicans went into this week, as you know, 14-point lead in a new Gallup survey showing that most of Americans support Republican direction on economic policy than Democrats. The majority of Americans believe that the Biden family is guilty because y'all been doing a really good job with the impeachment inquiry and messaging on this and letting everyone know. How do we get over this stumbling block, get back on track with focusing on these bigger issues? And then the second part of this question is this bust up after, you know, the proverbial Humpty Dumpty falls? Can it be put back together again? Because it seems like there's some deep, longstanding tension in the party. Is that something that can be bridged over?
Well, it has to be. And of course, there's deep, longstanding tension in the party because the party has been doing a pretty crappy job my entire lifetime, to be honest.
No.
I mean, seriously, like, name the things you think that Republicans in Congress have done a great job on in the last 30 years.
Stalling.
Go down the list. Not much. Right?
Right.
So, like, my point being, of course, there's a deep-seated tension. We're trying to change this place, and it's hard. We're trying to break it back and get it back on track. So we have to come together, get behind the speaker and do our job because we have no other choice, right? I mean, that's what you do. And look, I've said this before. Leadership is something you observe. Leadership is something that you can see. Leadership is not something you run for. Mm. And that's the difference here. We need to make sure that whoever is in the speaker's role is a leader who is going to take this group and lead us to accomplishing our objectives, cutting spending, drive down inflation, and to show that we're going to do our job, secure the border of the United States, body check the blank check to Ukraine, and hold this government as accountable, both in the oversight and judiciary work, but also constraining spending by not funding this weaponized government at the levels that they want to fund. Let's constrain it. That's our job.
That's a good point that you made.
Do those things, and we can go run next year.
We need lawmakers who are focusing on tending to the people and not trending for them on social media.
Correct.
As to the CR, because I know, obviously, if we had a budget, you and I have talked about this before, we wouldn't have all the CRs. The last bill that ended up being thwarted, that was the big reduction in spending, no Ukraine funding, prioritizing border security. Is it your belief that, because we got, 45 days, no less than that now, another shutdown, is it your belief that we can emulate that with another proposal, or where is that going to be harder for conservatives?
Well, I think this is where it gets difficult because we're losing time. Like some of my colleagues were wed to having to move the appropriations bills without having a stopgap cut to spending. That was the difference. Everybody kept calling it a CR. It was not a CR. It was a 30% cut for a month that would have saved $10 billion and would have passed HR 2. It would have put the Democrats in a box on the border, but we didn't do it. So we got what we got, and it wouldn't have been a play call. I voted against it. I told Kevin that I didn't support it, but I wasn't going to, rip his skin off for it because we didn't vote for the bill we should have voted for that we could have sent over to the Senate. So here we sit. You ask where we go. Well, time's ticking. We got to get the speaker selected. Then once that happens, we're going to have maybe a month left, right? Roughly. So you got to figure out then what you're going to do. I think a path could be, as my friend Warren Davidson laid out, take the bills we've already passed with the appropriations bills and then do the remainder as a continuing resolution haircut at the debt deal level or a cut in order to send it over there to say, guys, let's survive for another 30 days, figure out how to fund government that way, and then go through and deal with it. But I'll tell you this, I am not going to vote for a dollar for Alejandro Mayorkas until we've dealt with the border and the triage in Texas. I'm just not going to do it. You can say that that's a pigheaded line in the sand, and I'll say, fine, that's what it is. I'm not giving him another dollar until we figure out how to secure the border because Texans are taking it on the chin and we can no longer do that.
I think that's a great point. Honestly, it sounds like you got a lot of support from, I mean, Democrat governors and Democrat mayors that find themselves in a very awkward position right now. Even people like Pritzker in Illinois. Well, I got to tell you, I appreciate your fight and I get your frustration with all of this too, because you've always fought. You're honestly literally like one of three or four people in D.C. that's always been very consistent on fighting for constitutionalist principles on behalf of voters. And I honestly cannot say that of anybody else in D.C. So whenever you and, Massey and even Mike Lee speak, I always tell people that's when you kind of got to listen because, what they're saying here is true. And you've taken it on the chin a lot when you didn't need to. But just so you know that just so you're trying to you can move to a better negotiating position. So I know that that's a very humble position to take. And we appreciate your fight. And thank you for holding the line and being one of three people that we can look up to in D.C. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Dana, for holding the line and making sure people know the truth and for what you stood for in Texas and standing up for parents and all those things. Look, this too shall pass. As I said on Sean, we had Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton dueling. We're not doing that.
Nobody's been beaten with a cane yet, so we're doing good.
No cane beatings, no duels. So let's just get back on the horse and let's go lead. And that's like it's hard, but changing the direction of this country is worth it.
There you go. Amen to that. Congressman Chip Roy, good to see you. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
we'll
Jim.
Talk again soon. Take care. We have more to come, folks, as we roll out this third hour. You know what that is? That's a good cane. No one's been beaten with a walking implement on the floor.
Right.
Look at that. Look how we are better. Look at that. Now, are you not uplifted? I feel better already. Don't you? We all feel better.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
I was one of the guys that opposed McCarthy before it was cool. You know, now you're in a situation where they haven't produced results, and that's just the reality. At the same time, though, I look at guys like Chip Roy, Tom Massey, Jim Jordan, and they're basically saying that there's not a plan to go forward with whatever Matt Gaetz is doing. And so I'm somebody, if I go down a road, I will deliver results for it. I'm not just going to do it and flail around. It's not going to just be about fundraising. I would have a plan in place to be able to deliver what I promised to deliver. I'm not sure that there's a plan in place on this. So, I guess we'll see.
I need to add Jim Jordan to my list. I didn't, and I don't know why. I out of the people that I like in Congress, Roy, Massey, Mike Lee, who's in the Senate, and then Jim Jordan in the House. I like more House people than I do Senate, but I don't know why I didn't add him. That was like a slip on my brain. Welcome back to the show. I have audio that I need to play for you like a bunch. Real quickly. Audio sound by 14. Give me some Senator Kennedy. Hit me. Hit me.
Sorry, I have a lot of advice for my House colleagues other than this. Follow your heart, but take your brain with you.
I love that. Follow your heart, but take your brain with you. And then, Kane, I know it's today in stupidity, but this isn't stupid, but he is talking about stupid people. Did you want that for today in stupidity?
Even on a good day.
Because it's just a Kennedy quip, and it's so good.
Most Americans look at Washington, D.C., and they ask themselves, how did these people make it through the birth canal? And that's on a good day.
Why is there not a book of his sayings? Honestly, though, why is there not like bumper stickers?
We actually
shirts?
Have time for actual stupidity. This is Karine Jean-Pierre trying to pronounce tyranny.
We will continue to take actions to support Ukraine in their fight for freedom against tyranny and
what?
To curb Iran's destabilizing activities in the region and beyond.
No, she did not say tyranny.
Tyranny.
Well, is it big or tyranny? I don't know. Large? Would you like the large or tyranny size? I would like the tyranny size, please. Oh, boy. Yeah, today in stupidity. Sign up over at Substack, chapter and verse, the newsletter. Have a wonderful night. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.